How are you, Russ?
Good. How you doing, Gord? How you doing, Tim?
We like to talk about everything with you, Russ.
I know.
Canine relations. Hey, well, do you have a question for Kevin Shattenkirk? He's coming on at 9:15. I'll give you this opportunity now, but you have about 10 minutes now to think of a real doozy.
Okay, I'll think about it.
We'll credit you.
And okay. And also, Ilya Brizgalov's cat needs more Twitter followers, apparently, because there's a lot of dogs that are getting bigger numbers. So I don't know if yours is one of them that he was alluding to. But
You know what? I never gave any of my dogs their own account because I'd be jealous if they had more followers. So I wouldn't do it.
God, that would be tough.
That would suck.
The dog has more. Hey, you know, when you talk about dogs, tongue-in-cheek here, but about prospects, some are dogs, with all due respect, as it plays out. Others can be gems, you name it. So I don't have the list in front of me of all the names. But we know, like Vancouver went, teams that are out of the playoffs, grab a prospect along the way. And, you know, it can sound good. You go, wow, this guy was a second-round pick at some point. But talk about some of the prospects that moved and, you know, maybe including a former first-rounder of the Blackhawks that was involved in the trade as well that, you know, maybe you think have the best upside or others that maybe you kind of said, I don't know.
Well, I like the fact that Vancouver got Nikolai Goldobin. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He just didn't have a chance to break through. I mean, you know, when you have a team that gets to the Stanley Cup, it's hard. I like his speed. I like his hockey IQ. I think he's finally rounded out his game. I think next year he'll have a real good chance of making the team. It's a guy who could put up some points. I think, you know, Jim Benning did well with that. I think he did a really good job. I like the fact that Calgary got Curtis Lazar. I hope he gets sent back to the AHL because I think he was rushed. I think Lazar is a very mature kid, and I think that's why he did get rushed. But clearly, he needs to sort of get his game back. I never thought he was going to be a big offensive player, but he certainly could be more than he is right now. And so I think he just needs his confidence back. And I think sometimes that's a big thing with these kids. You want them to just get their confidence back. You put them in a different position, and they can do better. And so right now, you know, I would want to see Lazar sort of like start over. I think that's the best thing for him. And, you know, I think Ottawa getting Yuri, you know, Korpipaka, I forget how to pronounce
Yurki,
his last name.
Yeah, Yurki, yeah.
Korpipaka, Yuri, yeah. Thank you. I like him. I think he's got a little bit of offensive upside. I think he could skate well. I think that's going to be a good home for him in the future, too. So that was a good trade that helped both.
Who was the Dolan kid, too? What was the Dolan? Who am I missing?
Jonathan Dolan. Yeah, he could really – he was really a star at the World Juniors. He could skate. He was one of the fastest guys there. He put in, like, 5 goals. He was pretty dynamic. And it's going to be a couple of years for him. But, again, that was another thing to get a kid like that. It was smart. It was smart to pluck him, and yeah, he could be up to a second line player, you know, in the future.
Yeah, that's two for Vancouver.
And like I said, Benning did a really good job.
Well, you know, one that wouldn't be in the certainly blue chip prospect, but the Blackhawks give Mark McNeil a chance. You know, sometimes you get buried in the top team. He was a first round pick, basically running. You know, he looks like he's going to be a Rockford player. If he stays there, so it'll be interesting. I think this is more of a flyer, say, that the Dallas Stars took.
Yeah, I think what Dallas did that was good here was they took a guy that can sort of play Lindy Ruff hockey. He's a good checker. He's good at faceoffs. He's an energy guy. He's not going to be much of a scorer, but I think he could fit in and find a role as a depth energy guy, and then maybe we'll see what he's got. But you know, in Chicago, it's just so hard to break through. So I think this is the best thing for him as well. And, you know, once a guy is done being a first rounder, like you're done the minute you literally get thrown back into the pool with the rest of the guys when they get to the club. I don't even look at him as a first rounder. To me, I just look at him as another guy.
Throw him back into the pool.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Prospect pool, yep.
But Philadelphia Flyers, 3 points back. They get a big, it's a 3-point game, which is always kind of tough to swallow, especially for all the teams around Florida and Philadelphia. But just give me your, break it down. They've got 19 games left. They are 3 back of the Islanders right now.
Yeah, they got an important 2, but they bled 1. And Claude Giroux knew that because he knew that his on the power play, gave Aaron Ekblad a chance to make a great deke, and really with the same force that most guys would have with a one-timer, he basically got off a snapshot that went top shelf, and I swear, if we were playing like NHL Open Ice from back in the day, Steve Mason, even if he would have gotten his glove on it, the glove would have just like, you would have been, it would have gone on fire and the puck would have gone into the net anyhow. Like, there was just no human that could stop that. It was a big 2 points, but when you bleed one to the team ahead of you, you know, it could have been like a 4-point swing. So they're in it. They are definitely a resilient team. They've been resilient all year. Valtteri Filppula really did a nice job. He played with Shannon Voracek. He was making things happen. He controls the puck well. He's a deflector in front of the net. That's something the Flyers haven't had, that net front presence. They really have been lacking there. He made a couple of other nice passes. If that line can gel a little bit, I think Ron Hextall did a great thing because Mark Streit wasn't really needed anymore. Not that he's not a useful player. Obviously he is, and he still has a great shot and still can play the power play. But they needed more scoring, especially if they were going to try and contend. And so they're in it, and we'll see. I mean, right now, you know, Mason looked good, even though they signed Neuwirth. But again, they could have signed Neuwirth just to leave unprotected for Vegas, too. We don't know what the motive is there. So we don't really know who the number one is anymore either, but I'm still guessing it's Neuwirth.
Russ Cohen from Hockey Prospects Radio. Let me just think out loud here for a second.
Uh-oh.
As it relates to the Philadelphia Flyers. They have less, like, the one thing is it's very clear cut, the potential path, because they are in the Metro. So yeah. There is no catching the Metro, right?
Right.
Unlike Florida and Toronto that has the possibility of maybe catching a Boston or Ottawa in the Atlantic because they're just ahead of them a couple of points. No one's catching the top three in the Metro. Forget it. So your option, and you're not even catching the first wild card Rangers with 84 points.
No.
There is only one slot for teams that are in the Metro Division, and that would be, and actually, that's it. That's the Flyers, because Toronto, Florida, and Tampa are all Atlantic Division teams. They could slide into a different position. So that's it. Florida, or should I say Philadelphia, basically has to catch the New York Islanders. That's it. The target is in sight.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of like when the Adams family would drop the meat bone into the tank full of piranhas.
Uh-huh.
They're all going to be feeding on that one spot, really. I mean, there could be two spots if something opens up in the Atlantic, but but that's it. I mean, it's going to get ferocious. We're already seeing a difference after the trading deadline, how things sort of tighten up, how the scores aren't going to be as big, how the mistakes are being cut down. The coaches are really cracking the whip now.
And you know what, cousin? It could be the factor, right? Whoever added the it factor at the end in Adam's family vernacular could be the difference.
Of all the analogies for the single spot chase, he went with the Adam's family meat bone and the piranha.
I like
tank.
It. I think it's the best one I've heard.
And really,
I appreciate that, Gord. I know you're a guy who thinks outside the box.
I will steal it liberally and generously and give you no credit whatsoever.
Of course you will.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? If I was the Tampa Bay Lightning, okay, I don't know. I think life's full of having a sense of humor. I don't know, but I would have a Mark Streit video when he came back for the minute he was a Lightning before he got flipped to Pittsburgh. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that just, like, he just would show on like Sportsnet or TSN or the NHL Network, like the graphic and then something and then the graphic that he gets flipped the other way.
You'd have to superimpose the sweater.
That'd be beautiful.
You know, there was a moment where Flyers fans were like, okay, he gets dealt to Tampa, you know, no big deal. And then at the end, he gets flipped to Pittsburgh, and they're like, no, that's not what we wanted. It was interesting, but clearly the Flyers didn't want to have relations with Pittsburgh, or they didn't have a player that they wanted, so they went that route. It was also a wash money-wise, because the Flyers are now run by a corporation. It's not Ed Snyder anymore. So, you know, they're not going to just take on bad contracts or retain salary just for the heck of it. And so Ron Hextall has to work under some constraints now that maybe Paul Holmgren didn't have and others didn't have. But you know what? Mark Streit, that is funny. I hope they do that. And I hope there's more of that at trade deadlines because it made it exciting.
You know, I am curious. You bring up a point. I know in the, quote, olden days, because it was not social media and right, so people really didn't know what was going on and being thought about and discussed in all the different cities, that a three-way trade could be a piss-off trade. That, you know, right. I don't want to deal with Pittsburgh, and I'm there's a gentleman's agreement that I'll trade him to the other conference. I know it wasn't the other conference, but you know what I mean, right? Not the rival. And there's a gentleman's agreement he's not going to be flipped there. But then also in this world, it's caveat emptor that, you know, who would give such a gentleman's agreement? So I do wonder if maybe there's an element of the Flyers saying, oh, damn it, or there's an element, okay, no big deal, you know, whatever it may be. I guess we'll never know.
No, we're never going to know. Ron Hextall ain't talking. He's not the talking type. But we all do wonder the same thing, Gord. So I get it.
Yeah. Now, the other one, just when you talk about trade deadline, I imagine by the end of it, Ilya Berezgalov wasn't as humorous as he was for much of his appearances on Sportsnet. I think we do like him being a little bit out there. I imagine that wasn't a fun time.
No, I mean, look, when you're a bear out in the woods, you do eventually get tired and you do need to lay down. It's new for him. He's always been an engaging guy, but he probably didn't realize how difficult it can be when you have a 4-hour slot and there's only X amount of trades. And so you have to really do some entertaining. And so maybe that's something that, you know, he'll get good at. Maybe he'll start doing impressions or something down the line.
I was a little nervous. I didn't know where you're going with that bear in the woods thing.
All right, you got a question for Kevin Shattenkirk?
Yeah, ask him if he eats pizza with a fork and knife, because in case he does become a Ranger, that would be a big question.
Really?
Fork and knife. Oh, okay, very good.
Why, which one of them eats it with a fork and knife, or is this a Seinfeld reference?
No, this is just like every once in a while someone will say they do. And if they say they do, they pretty much get mocked by every New Yorker for till the end of time.
Okay.
Fair so you'll be part of New Yorker. So that's a clever way of getting him to tip his hand about what he's thinking.
Yeah,
right?
See, Gord, I'm pretty
okay,
good.
Okay, yeah. Rather than saying you got to sign with the Rangers, and he kind of mutters under his breath, you kind of okay, beautiful. You're not just a pretty face, Russ, with two beautiful dogs.
Thanks, I
three.
Will.
And I don't mean your feet. Okay.
All right.
Thanks as always.
All right, boys.